Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We got a great show for you tonight. An alternative mousetrap to launch an ADHD teen to college. And with us in our virtual studio is Daniel Kuffler. He's the head of New Frontiers in Learning. And I'd like to thank Rob Todisco for introducing me to Daniel. It was quite a find. Rob's a long-term friend of Attention Talk Radio and a great resource to the ADHD community. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, June the 7th in your 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We only have a few short announcements. Number one, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, better known as CHAD, for bringing the show to you. And we've actually got a tip that we're going to run for them. So let's do that and we'll move on. Here we go.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with CHAD and ADDA. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number four, ADHD.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for bringing the show to you tonight. Real quickly, their annual conference is coming up in November. That's November the 9th to the 11th in the year 2017 in Atlanta, Georgia. You can learn more about their conference by going to chadd.org. I encourage you to go check it out. I encourage you to go. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We have a lot of great content on Attention Talk Radio, but there's nothing like the experience of hanging out with your tribe at Chad's conference. You learn a ton like you do on the show, but you learn even more in the hallways, talking to the speakers when they're done on a one-on-one basis and answering your questions. So anyway, again, thanks you for Chad for everything that you do. If you're not a member of Chad, you should. They're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of ADD. So with that, let's get into the show. For scheduling reasons, this was pre-recorded, so let's roll the tape. We're here with Daniel Kuffler. He's the founder and executive director of New Frontiers in Learning, LLC in New York City. The company offers a large and varied team of professionals providing educational and social support services to young adults who learn differently. Daniel graduated from George Washington University with a Bachelor of Business Administration with a concentration in marketing. He joined his father at his firm. He started over 25 years ago to provide high-quality educational opportunities. With his direct involvement in the growth of the business, Daniel used his collective experiences in developing and establish New Frontiers in Learning. His role incorporates not only strategic vision but overall leadership, but also focuses on ensuring the absolute best place for students and families to get support. You can learn more about Daniel and New Frontiers in Learning at www.nfil.net. And with that, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thrilled to have you on here. You know, it's interesting. One of the big topics in the ADHD community and very near and dear to a lot of parents is launching their teens into college. And it's been fascinating to me over the years because we've had different interviews on this and we're searching for really kind of what works. But the fact of the matter is that most colleges provide disability services which support, which is all well intended to help those make that transition from high school to college. But the fact of the matter is most of the kids don't actually seek out that support. And while we provide that stuff, it's great. If they're not seeking it out, it doesn't really work. And you guys have a little bit of a different philosophy about this and working with high school students and actually younger students, not only from a coaching perspective, but a life skill and try to transition this. Can you tell us about that philosophy and how it all came to be?
Yeah. So to take a step backwards, you mentioned earlier in the intro, lovely intro. Thank you again. My family's been building and operating private schools for many years in and around the New York City area, general ed and special education focuses. One of the programs called the Aaron School, which is still exists. We sold it a couple of years ago, but it still operates. It's a lovely school in Midtown Manhattan. College prep program for students with a variety of learning differences And what was happening was that school originally started as an elementary school, and it grew to a middle and high school over time. As that process ran its course, we started getting approached by families saying, look, we recognize that to a certain extent the success we're experiencing here is a function of the supports you provided for us, and that's wonderful. We're concerned, however, about the transition to college and what happens when these supports fall apart, or we're no longer entitled to them, certainly.
Yep.
And what can you do about that? And, you know, at the time, I didn't have a really thoughtful answer, so I didn't give one. But it was a really good question, and I felt obligated to come up with a really smart answer. We owed it to our families. And in that process, I started thinking, you know, is it really in the best interest of our families to take students who have accomplished their academic goals but perhaps have some social issues underpinning their ability to be successful longer term, to hold them back from school rather than to send them off to school with supports that can go to any school they want to go to? So I think part of the issue is, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of schools do offer support. The degree to which those supports are offered varies from school to school, and I think that there's a bit of a stigma associated with receiving supports on campus in some cases, and also just merely the fact that a lot of the students who do receive supports feel a bit of a stigma as a result of receiving them, even if they really do need them and want them. So we thought, well, what if we could figure out a way to provide these supports to students wherever they go to school on a very individualized, customized basis that, you know, with a completely non-judgmental approach that allows them to honestly explore kind of where their needs and deficits may be, and to help them focus on those from a strategic perspective that really, again, different from the public school model where it's kind of one size fits all, addressing from their particular perspective what are the issues they're struggling with and how can we develop strategies to help them realize success.
And so as you begin to develop that concept, how did that begin to manifest?
So my colleague and I, Samantha Feynman, who's actually joining us here today, she's our director. So she's right at the intersection of the programmatic delivery, the hiring and support function of our coaches and staff, and the business aspects of things. So she was working on a college campus providing similar supports to the ones that we thought were really productive as long as what people seek them out. And we looked around and said, look, what if we can decentralize this and kind of start working with students who maybe don't fit the dynamic or the definition of what families are being offered on campus. So in this case, it was students on the spectrum in post-secondary environments, and the idea was to help them transition to college with some beginning with like a recognition of what is the difference between high school and college. There's a series of concepts that are not clearly enunciated in my experience for high school students. I think there's a lot of work, in all fairness to the high school, you know, administrators and teachers, a lot of work goes into getting these students to graduate. So for the students who maybe don't follow a typical path and maybe need a little more support than is generally available, they have a great potential of falling through the cracks. So we started to try and focus on that population first. And we really got blindsided, if you will, by a bunch of students who were, I would call it in triage mode, who were in college and were crashing and burning. They perhaps underestimated the degree of support they would need and how to seek it out and how to kind of negotiate all the different responsibilities that they were going to be handed when going to college and how to manage them. So we ended up doing a bunch of, you know, again, to use the word triage work to help these students just get through that semester and kind of get them on stable footing through, you know, into the next semester and beyond. And then from there, we started to tap into the high school and other college communities around the tri-state area, which is where we are based, to give folks, really just giving them another alternative to what is currently out there. We don't profess to be, well, we think we are the best. We don't profess to be the best. We are an option for families to consider when thinking about what types of supports are going to be available on campus, where are the gaps in those supports offered, and can organizations like ours provide some safety nets to ensure the students are able to be successful, make some mistakes as they go, and through that effort, learn how to troubleshoot through and kind of problem solve, be that, you know, on their own or asking for help from a coach, et cetera, whatever the different approach might be in the right circumstance.
So you're helping them as kind of part tutor, part coach, life skill coach, transition person from the high school into the colleges in and around the area. Is that accurate?
It is, and throughout the college experience, and frankly, beyond that, if need be.
So we need to go break for in just a second, but, you know, it's kind of funny because you mentioned a couple minutes ago the difference between high school and college, and I did a real short interview on Attention Talk video with Dr. Patricia Quinn one time, and it was funny because she said, you know, there's three things in college that you don't have in high school. You don't have homework, you don't have parents, and you don't have teachers. It was interesting to me because that was a profound comment that took me by surprise. I get the parents and I get the homework kind of thing, but I didn't get the teachers. And she said, you know, they really kind of help you gather information. They're not as much as a teacher. They really leave you alone. And it was eye-opening to me as my own son went off to college, because a lot of times he was in a class and there was just somebody just like spitting out information, really not helping the people absorb it. And I just wanted to kind of highlight that because it's not just all those other things, but there is actually a fundamental difference here. So I do want to go to break and come back and talk about how you support them. For those listeners that want to learn more about Daniel and New Frontiers in Learning, go to their website at www.nfil.net, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with Daniel Koffler of the New Frontiers. Oh, I lost my... lost my place. My dyslexia is getting to my New Frontiers in Learning. We're having a conversation about their model, which is interesting. And Daniel, it's fascinating to me about the concept of getting involved with the teenagers to help them in high school and transition to college, not only just from tutoring, but also life skills, even like doing washing, like laundry and stuff like that when they kind of go in. Am I to understand that you guys actually can provide those services where you actually go to the students on site in college to kind of help them with those things?
Can and do. And just before I expand on that, I wanted to touch on a point you made before the commercial break regarding Dr. Quinn. You know, it's interesting her perspective on that issue, because we routinely say, and Samantha's been an architect of this kind of in our language, college professors are not necessarily teachers. They are subject matter experts. And there's a very big difference between somebody who can teach a subject and somebody who understands a subject. So we find that confounding issue can be, again, like another point of frustration for certain students who are used to a certain degree of support from who they consider their teacher versus what the expectation is in college. So I thought that was just a sort of exclamation point on that.
Yeah, I like how you articulated, because I think it's a little bit better, teachers and subject matter experts, because it's really clean. They don't necessarily teach it, but they are experts on that particular area. But there's a more burden on that student to actually be more active in having to digest that information when it's not necessarily put in a form that's easy for them. So, again, thank you for highlighting that.
Sure, yeah. And so back to your original question, yes, we run the gamut of those types of life skills that are kind of required for – you know, soft skills and, you know, the harder skills. So, you know, a lot of this stuff isn't taught. in, you know, at home, in school, and just in general in society. It's kind of absorbed information that you learn by doing and being and living, which is fine for a decent swatch of the population as you know, we continue to operate as humans. But for a number of people, a large enough number of people who have all the potential in the world to be successful, some of these things can really get in the way of progress. So our general thesis is, well, why should they have to struggle with those types of things that are very teachable if someone just takes the time to teach them? So if that means that you don't know how to do your laundry, or you don't know how to negotiate, you know, getting around campus, or you're not sure how to structure an essay, or whatever it may be that is a part of academic life at that age, we're happy to walk you through it. Even if you're supposed to know it, quote unquote, you know, that's not really our concern. It's, do you understand it? Do you master it? Are you comfortable with it? That's where we get involved. And until you can answer that question, that yes, I'm comfortable, I can do this myself, I could even teach somebody how to do this, then we know you're ready to kind of fly the coop.
Well, so what's really powerful to me is there's one thing to tell somebody how to do it, and maybe they can do their laundry at home, but when you get into a new setting and environment where the laundry isn't in the room next door, it's like downstairs and there's some stuff, is how do you actually kind of get that done? And I learned years ago as a high adventure scout master that this concept in scouts called edge. You educate, you demonstrate, you guide, and you empower. And it's interesting to me because I find those with ADHD just thrive under that type of environment. So if you just educate somebody about doing their laundry, it's one thing, but to have somebody actually come on campus and walk you through it, because we clearly know those with ADHD, they know what they need to do, but they have a hard time executing what they need to know. And having somebody come on and demonstrating it and walking through that with them, to me, is like light years. I know that I've never heard of anybody from disability services going to a person in the laundry room and helping them with those types of things. And this is the type of stuff that's really happening. What's why I'm fascinated to have you on the show. Certainly parents can do some of this, but I got to tell you, I'm a parent and I had a kid transitioning. And I got to tell you, when I had my dumbass attack in June, back when my son was 12 and I went from really smart to not knowing anything and he went off, he wouldn't listen to me just because he was a parent, but to have another individual that's trusted to kind of walk him through that stuff, they do listen to. It's God sent to me to know that they are listening to somebody in this transition in a different way and not having to go to disability services to deal with all that kind of stigma. I now can see how this is a really, really powerful model for those that you can get into that. So with all that said, is there anything to embellish on that or anything additionally you'd like to point out?
Well, I'd say that you made a lot of good points. That EDGE acronym, which we don't use, but we do that, interestingly enough. We just haven't used that terminology, is spot on. With all due respect to the disability support offices on college campuses, I think that they have people in these offices and most of our experiences who are really quality people who want to do great work. It's just there's just a numbers game that they can't win. It's overwhelming what they have to deal with, especially at, you know, crisis times, like midterms, finals, et cetera. They can't honestly be expected to provide the service that the families and the students kind of need and expect with the resources they have. So, which is part of why we came into the equation to kind of help plug those gaps where those services maybe aren't adequate enough. But even regardless of what they are expected to do and for the quantity of people they're expected to do it for, they're not going to your dorm room and helping you with that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That's not going to happen regardless, right?
And yeah, I don't want to kind of reiterate what you said. This is not a knock on disability services. It's all well intended. They provide that stuff. The fact of the matter is the kids, when they show up, they don't really want to go. They don't necessarily show up, and there's this communication gap. But the other thing that you told me that's powerful to me before we got on this is if you're working with a kid on campus, as you described, you can then actually take them to the disability services office, because sometimes they don't even know where it is, and help be a liaison to interact and help them advocate. I know I was coaching a college student that was having some issues auditorily because they needed somebody to take notes for them. And they prescribed a student to kind of come in and do it for them so that they could focus on the lecture and this individual would take the notes. But it wasn't working because the individual wasn't taking notes in a way that my individual would really kind of absorb it. And it's fascinating because just from a distance, I started talking to her about LiveScribe and she's like, what? And just having the breadth of interacting with that student and translating with disability services, I think is another powerful piece of it, because if there is some stuff that's there, just helping the student go down there and interact, because they just came out of high school. They're not so adept at some of this stuff. Again, you're walking down and demonstrating and show them through the process. Again, I just see this to be a much more powerful way of helping that student kind of move along. And I, maybe I should ask you, to reconfirm that, in fact, that you guys can do that at sometimes is actually work with the student interactive disability services. Is that right?
Can and do. Yeah. I mean, you know, coming out of high school, you know, I'll speak for myself, you know, forget about navigating college. Like, you don't know how to navigate life. Like, it's, and frankly,
yep.
you know, I didn't graduate college that long ago, high school that long ago, but it seems that there's a theme going around the country where it seems to be, you know, getting a little more difficult, you know, kind of this failure to launch 30s into 20. It, that kind of issue seems to be confounding just like society in general. And I think that added on top of individuals who have ADHD and other kind of learning disabilities, mental health issues, is just all the more complicating. So, I mean, we support the disability supports offices. And we encourage all of our families and students in particular to take advantage of whatever they have. And if they don't know about it, how can they, right? So I think that, and to your point earlier, the third-party dynamic that we play with relation to the school or the parent tends to give us a fresher voice in the room that the students are generally more apt to pay attention to.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need to go another break real quick. Again, everybody, I encourage you to go check out Daniel and their organization, New Frontiers in Learning, at www.nfil.net. And we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Daniel here on that launching a kind of really a different paradigm, different way of going about this that I think has a lot of promise and fundamentally what we're talking about really makes a lot of success. I mean, a lot of sense that it would be successful. Again, we're not in debt at all knocking the current system because it's very well intended, but the bottom line is it's actually not getting there. And this hooking up with the students kind of in this transition so that it's a known entity. In the best case scenario, kind of walking them through on campus where it's not apparent, it's not that nag and those what's the word I'm looking for? Those when you're working with somebody like a teenager or a peer child, you have a behavior that ensues and people begin just to react before you open your mouth. And this is a third party that can kind of manage their way through that. And actually, again, in the best case scenario, I'll be on campus to help the students interact with this on a day-to-day basis. And again, I go back to my scouting thing. Those with ADHD sometimes need to see it demonstrated, walk through it, and it's really, really, really kind of powerful. And I think really kind of it's got to make a parent feel a lot more comfortable in this process and realizes that it's a better investment for them to make sure that their kid launches and does some well. I'm presuming that you had a lot of really positive outcomes as a result of some of these transitions. Can you tell us about it in general?
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting about outcomes is that a lot of what we see and are responsible for helping along is qualitative versus quantitative. And I think that we live in a very quantitative world, which, you know, is something I want to respond to. I struggle to find the right measure. So like GPA, for example, certainly we see our students' GPAs improve. But really what we find to be more important is the social, you know, the social interactions, the social initiation, the ability to solve problems on their own. Again, as I said earlier, you know, searching it, asking a question. Who do you ask the question to? When do you ask it? You know, what's the right amount of communication with a professor? You know, ultimately, we're trying to put students on a path towards independence and self-advocacy. That's the purpose of this program. So if we're doing our job well, we go out of business, right? You know, not really, but because there's always more students coming up through the pipeline. But really the purpose of this is to have students, they perhaps might need to see us for an extended period of time and a significant intervention in the beginning for a variety of reasons. And then as we go forward, we start every conversation, every assessment with the idea of, all right, how does it end? You know, and it's not a function of time.
Yep.
It could be 6 weeks. It could be 6 years, right? That's not how we measure ourselves, nor do I think how folks should measure this kind of process outside of what New Frontiers does. It's really about, at the end of the process, have they developed the ability to advocate for themselves and be independent in real terms? Can they manage their own apartment? Can they manage their own work environment? Or if they're still in school, can they manage their course load, interpersonal relationships, you know, and everything in between? From, you know, can I order a slice of pizza at like a busy, you know, pizza place in New York City that, you know, eye contact is the way that gets
yep.
done? Can you pick up those cues?
Yep.
That kind of stuff
yep.
is really what we're looking to develop those skills, and that is not an overnight activity.
Well, yeah, I love what you just said. The grades and stuff are like measured, but the independent self-advocacy and these little things, and there's all kinds of stuff in here that's buried in this mess. Like even just remembering to maybe buy a present or a card for mom or dad on their birthday. All that stuff's a part of it. And I know when I went to college, I was – again, I've said this before. I was on a scholarship in college, and I got free tutors and stuff that helped me. But most of my education was really outside of the classroom. Knowing how to migrate, integrate, do these things, deal with my travel schedule and swimming, advocate for myself to go get the resources that I need in order to study while I was gone or come back and really kind of get caught up. And all those transitions, those are all life skills that are very valuable. And if a student really goes in and they're just focusing on the grades, there's that other piece of it. Because when they launch out of college, if you don't have those life skills, it's going to be crash and burn on the other side. So this is such a holistic approach. It's really encompassing everything and guiding the person through the process as a transition with a known entity, as opposed to that like cliff that the student walks off. The parents go, they arrive, they set up in campus, they have people they can reach out and go see, but really they're on their own after that. And again, I think this is just a fresh new way of looking at something that's really, really, really positive. And you guys have been doing this successfully. How long have you actually been mainstreaming this?
It's been 5 years since we've been organized as New Frontiers. And we live this every day. And, you know, really just to the point earlier, in simple terms, it's about developing systems. And every individual has their own way of, you know, looking, kind of like filing things away in their mind about how they address these
yep.
things. You know, there's the example that I've used in the past and that I think has become pretty prevalent with the internet these days, with a lot of these tech CEOs and other kind of like leaders of industry who have ADHD or dyslexia or other kind of, you know, more well-known, you know, learning differences. And I always say, you know, you can have the 4.0 student who's able to hit all the, you know, the measures and metrics on, you know, numerically in school, who ends up working for the 3.0, who maybe was a little distracted, a little kind of disorganized, but they have the creativity. And if you can kind of foster that and kind of harness that and help them develop strategies and skills, it's those 3.0s, you know, who may have, you know, learning differences that weren't necessarily rewarded or kind of acknowledged in their earlier educational experiences. They're the ones who have the potential, I think, the greatest potential to be the next leaders of the world. And, you know, certainly that's on our list of goals for all of our students whenever possible.
Yeah, I cannot help tangentially. This is kind of back, I guess, 20 years ago, I was going through a program in Tampa called Leadership Tampa, which I don't have to go a lot, but we it was this thing to develop leaders. And one day we went to what's called Healthcare Day. And in the morning, I got to go into a operating room and watch a valve replacement. Literally, the guy was sitting there and I saw him cut his chest open, split his ribs. I had to step away from because I was standing where the anesthesiologist, where they stopped this guy's heart. Then I got to watch it. And this guy was basically taking the valve that's where the artery goes in and replacing it at that point in time. And it was fascinating to me because I'm sitting there and these guys, they're talking half the time about the new speaker system that they have in, and which is kind of fascinating. But what I learned from that experience was fascinating to me. Is these guys are plumbers. I mean, that's really what they went to medical school, but they're dealing with a plumbing situation. And as I watched this, the skill of the handwork of the surgeon, I began to realize is, you know, there's a lot of people that are really, 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 really smart. This guy probably was the C student who got through medical school, but he's really good with his hands. And that's the guy that I want doing surgery on me, not the guy who knows it all, who's a kind of a bumbling idiot. And I don't mean to be negative about that.
But in this context, is so often is you have these students that struggle, and if we can help them with the life skills and they go out there and do this, they can really thrive in those areas of strength by just kind of getting the education. I know that was kind of a funky story that I just described, but all too often is it's not always that smartest student with a 4.0 that ends up doing really, really well in life. But those people, we still have to get them through school, and you guys are helping with that bridge. And I just think I love what you guys are doing because it's a different paradigm and a new way of launching teens.
That was a very relevant story.
We're going to wrap this thing up. Is there anything else left to say that that our listeners would find insightful, or just to, before we wrap it up?
Oh, I
or
mean,
think
this,
we got
this,
it?
I could go on for hours, but you know, we have time limitations. But you know, for sure, or you know. I think we've hit the salient points. Students with learning differences, ADHD, do not have to struggle. There's going to be a degree of struggling, like just becoming an adult. That's hard enough. They don't have to wander through this experiment listlessly. There are
yep.
support programs out there and individuals who really have an expertise in what this transition looks like and how to develop the executive functioning skills to really master what comes at you in life as it comes. So there's really, you know, I think it's a hopeful message. We don't, you know, there's enough struggling that goes on that you can't control. Like there's some of the stuff we don't have to struggle with anymore.
Yep,
and we're trying
yep.
to be one of the change agents in that regard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Daniel, I can't thank you so much for coming on the show. It's very insightful. I really appreciate it. I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Everybody, learn more about Daniel and especially their programs in New Frontiers in Learning at www.nfil.net. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.